accompanied by our faith. But in other words, whatever we do for the Lord, we got to do it by our faith, our faith. The Lord would train us. I noticed that in my life, He trained me for the things He wanted me to do. And in order to do it, I had to believe it. Sometimes I didn't measure it. I didn't know how big I should measure. I didn't even know about measuring or how much I should measure what I was believing God for. I just did what He said to do, and it worked. But there are times when you have to believe for great things in your ministry. You got to believe it. If the Lord wants you to do it, you got to believe it. It's got to be by faith. And everything that Jesus did, He did it by faith. He said, I do what I see my Father do. I say what I hear my Father say. And He didn't do anything without the Father. Everything He did was sanctioned. And when He turned the water into wine for His mother, that was permissible. He loves us. God loves us. And God will deal with you. He will help you. Now, the Lord never speaks to me repetitionally. He don't say the same thing over and over again unless He's training me for something. When I remember Him saying the same thing again and again, He was getting me on board with what He was doing. And I didn't always understand that. Now, if He tell me to do something and I start doing it my way, He won't keep telling me to do the same thing because I'm not in faith. I have to believe what He said the first time. Out of His great and wonderful mercy, He might say it one more time. He never keeps saying the same thing. And then He'll stop talking if you really keep going your own way. The Lord He does things. I know in relating to Him, you notice things about Him. You notice that He do things a certain way. And it's wonderful. You can't put a price tag on it. It's valuable. And I want to do everything that's in His heart. I've grown to trust Him more and more. Every time He give me something to do, I do it. And I begin to see His wisdom and His purpose and how He does things. It's beautiful to me. And I noticed that a lot of times people are, He give us ministries, He give us things to accomplish. Sometimes people they lose faith in what they're doing and they try to get other people to believe it. And you got to believe in what you're doing. Wholeheartedly. And you can mix faith with it on purpose, and that kills all your worries. You don't have to worry. Kenneth Copeland did a good job, a wonderful job about worry yesterday. He said, you have to speak faith. Speak the word. Speak the promises. That's the only way to take advantage of time. And if when we do these things, it works good too. And we can enjoy a greater measure of success. It's stressful trying to get other people on board with something God gave you. And I say you don't really have to do that. Just do it. I know ministries have to get, they like to get people to agree. But in the ministry God gave you, just do what He say do it. The right people will catch on to help you. You don't have to make them pay for it. You don't have to make them do anything. God will do this. He wants it done. He'll provide for it. And if you have to, you just have to do. Sometimes in some cases, you may have to do a lot of work. You may have to get another job to do what you're going to do. I work on the side to do what I do. Because I know, I learned that if I'm going to follow God, I got to believe in what I'm doing. Anybody that helped me, they'll believe in what I'm doing. And Christians don't always agree or believe in what you do. And I saw how difficult it was to get pastors on board with following what God gave them personally. Not what he wanted me to do, but what he wants them to do. They did traditional things. They did what their predecessors did, what other people, what they were comfortable with. That became their method of operation. They didn't yield themselves to the Holy Spirit and be trained by it. They just kept doing. I noticed also that when I would say follow God, they do more of what they thought was best. They were trying, but that's not what God was after. He wanted them to follow him, do precisely what he's saying. And if you don't understand, get revelation. Some of the writings that I would, you know, the personal words that I, the words of wisdom that I gave him, and sometimes words of prophecy. The Lord will use prophecy to show them, give them a visual of what will happen if they obey him. And then the word of wisdom, he would give me revelation to help him get on board with what he was doing. And you can't, you know, if the organization protocols would work, God would have sanctioned them. But that may have worked for a time. You know, the wisdom of man only goes so far, but it's really what's inspired by the Holy Spirit that puts people over. You know, Lester Sumrall wrote a book, Pioneers of Faith. And at the end of the book, the Lord was showing him that, the Lord had him showing that great change is not done by organizations. It's mostly done by individuals with a vision. And they believe in that vision and they act on it. That's what you got to do. Even when it comes down to soul winning and being a blessing in your family, you got to stop being emotionally attached. And you can learn to do that. You just do what the words say do. Don't feel like what you're doing is worthless. Don't look at the people. They can discourage you and you'll think that it's no use. You got to look at the Lord. You got to look at him. He know what he's doing. He know what they're thinking. He know how they're receiving and whether they're receiving or not. People don't always look like they're receiving from the Lord. You know, a Pharisee Saul didn't look like he was receiving what Stephen was saying while he was holding the coats for the men that was busy stoning him, breaking his bones and injuring him, and those stones hurt. If somebody hits you with a stone, it hurts. And he was dying. He forgave them. He remitted their sins. He forgave them. And we got an apostle out of it. His first message, he got killed preaching his first message. I think Kenneth Copeland mentioned that too, how, you know, sometimes people, somebody was talking about that on TV yesterday, about how people, you might get killed preaching your first sermon, or it may have been David at church. I heard it yesterday. Anyway, it's time now to follow God. See, some people would have thought, well, Stephen got killed preaching, and what he did was in vain, but no, we got an apostle out of it. See, one message can be so powerful, we can get a thriving apostle out of it. We can get prophets and teachers, people that will do great things, people that will mix faith with the word of God. That's why I do these broadcasts. I don't know who will be activated to do all that's in God's heart, but I do know that people are out there and with the right push, the right information, they'll get on track and they'll be a weapon in God's hands. They'll be precisely what God needs. He already designed them for it. Every person has a design. Every person has something that they can contribute to the earth. But when they get saved, they're activated. When they study the word of God, they're yielding themselves. And the treasures that God already put inside of them is being activated, brought to the surface. Well, when that happens, the Lord can train you to do whatever it is he needs. I don't disqualify anybody. Some people disqualify young people. Some people disqualify children. Some people disqualify old people. The average Christian that has an Acts testimony. The average Christian. People that were serious about following God. The devil tried some stuff and it didn't work. And that, if they talked about their whole life and what they went through, they got an Acts testimony. Just like Apostle Paul. I'm not talking about just the big name preachers. They got them too. The average Joe has an Acts testimony of things that God have done, miracles that have happened in the course of his life. I was in the church. My dad's church. I said, if you ever been healed by God, raise your hand. Or most of the people raise their hand. If you ever seen a miracle, raise your hand. They raised their hand. And they were not Pentecostal people. This is, everybody has something. They just don't talk about it. And I told the guy at work, and he told me he never got saved before. I said, miracles happen all the time, Bill. I said, people don't talk about it. And then he told me what happened to him. He was in somebody's yard. They had a lake. And they asked him, could he swim? He said he could. He got out there and went straight to the bottom. And he didn't know how to swim. And he felt something grab him by the hand and lead him out of the water. I said, that was an angel. That was a miracle right there. I said, and he remembered it. I said, the problem is people don't talk about it. Miracles happen all the time. Every Christian person has an Acts testimony somewhere. Things that just happened. It may not be 10 or 15 different things, but it's something. Something happened, and the Lord helped them. Some of us have almost gotten killed. Things happened, and we survived. Or we were tempted, and the Lord blessed us to get out of it. You know, a friend of mine was transported. He went to a party, and somebody was shooting at him. Thought he was somebody else. And the last thing he remembered was running down the street. And the next thing he remembered, he woke up in his bed, and the house was locked from the inside. He don't remember going in the house that night. He asked everybody in his family, who let me in the house? Nobody knew how he got in the house. Everybody has their own testimony. Things happen. Things go wrong, things go right. Angel intervention, demonic activity, and the Lord blesses us. It's time now to pay attention to the things of God. Now, if you listen to my testimonies, I talk about some of the miracles or that have happened in my life, things that have happened where God intervened, helped me understand things. All of it's true. I lived it. If I wouldn't lie to God's people. I do fear God. God don't play. And I want to go to heaven. I know I've been to hell. I don't want to go to hell. I'm motivated to tell the truth. So everything, as far-fetched as it can sound, has happened. I saw, I was amazed by it, just like anybody would be. But why take all these things to the grave? I thank God for these recordings. Some people say, well, why does he do a recording every day? I'm doing it at God's instruction and in faith. I believe in what I'm doing. There are people who will hear. Now, some people may take it lightly, and I understand that. I run into that too many times. But there are people out there that will value the treasures of God's word. And everybody has their own testimonies. God is huge. He's working in everybody. The Holy Spirit is in every believer and every sincere person. And he works with us. He helps us stay in the kingdom. He helps us win in life. But we have to believe him. And he even helps us bear fruit. Now Jesus said, if you bear fruit, he will purge you that you may bear more fruit. Why? Because we bear fruit after our kind. And you don't need to bear contrary fruit. The contrary areas of our life, the unrenewed portion of our mind, It's a blessing when God help us purge all those things out. And then we win souls that would be better. The Lord doesn't want unrepentant people winning souls. He wants us to love Him. He wants us to do the things of God, then win souls in that order. That's why Isaiah blinded Israel, because they went idolatrous. They got into heavy idolatry and they wouldn't repent. They became reprobate. So if Christ would have came and started a church, they would have killed the church because they didn't believe in it. Habakkuk said, "The just shall live by his faith." The man whose heart is not upright in him, you know, they always look to something else and leave the things of God. But the just shall live by his faith. And we spread the gospel by faith. We cooperate with God by faith and trust. And we learn to trust Him by obeying Him. Because then it works and the Lord has rapport with us. We know that He keeps His word in our life. He keeps it in your life. He keeps it in my life. He's going to do the word of God. He's going to do it. He's going to do it according to the word. And there's no limitations in Him. And we got to learn not to limit Him. We got to learn to think big and greater. Whatever God gave you to do, you got to believe it. That's your duty. Don't serve God with unbelief. And don't doubt anything of God. Don't doubt holy things. Holy things are powerful. The Word of God is powerful. Yielding to the Holy Spirit is powerful. It's a holy thing. It's not satanic. It's not worldly. I know the devil will tempt you. Well, every time the Lord does something through people, something, and now people He called to be prophets and apostles, and they don't want to put themselves on the pedestal. The devil say, "Well, you're just trying to put yourself on the pedestal." That crazy joker trying to put himself on. Don't listen to him. He's wrong. He's always wrong. He lies before he speaks. Don't listen to nothing. He don't have any rights and privileges of the kingdom of God. Leave him alone. Drive him out of your thought system. Break all of his strongholds. Don't let him have any strongholds in your life. Do it God's way. Break every crutch. And don't use people as a crutch. Do it. Do what God gave you to do. And if somebody help you, fine. If they don't, keep doing what God gave you with the strength you got. It's not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. Sometimes your works of faith will jumpstart the whole process. And the Lord will back you up. And if you have to work, sometimes, you know, the needs of heaven is the road to our greatest blessings. Spiritual wealth is going to get all over your life if you start doing what you're supposed to do. You will grow in strength. You will grow in character as you endeavor to do the things of God. It's just the way it works. And it's good. You're going to grow. If you may start off, it may be difficult, because when you start working your first job, You're using muscles you don't use. You're using thought systems that you never used. People are looking to you to know your job, and you got to dig deep sometime. You got to get things sorted out, figured out, and get in the habit of doing something new. And you're stretching and using muscles that you haven't been using, and your body ache. When I first started sacking groceries, I felt like I'd been running a marathon the next day. After about a week, I got used to it. After 2 weeks, I was conditioned. After a month, it was easy. And once I learned the job, it was easy. Oh, I said, okay, I'll just do this, do that, do my duties. And I tried to do a good job because I wanted my job. I wanted to buy a car. And I wanted to pay my own way. I didn't want my parents paying for my college. They started me out. They started helping me, but I started I said, Mama, I can pay this. And I paid it. And after I got 18, I said, well, Mama, I need to give you money to live here now. I'm grown. And she didn't want me to. She said, I tell you what, you can just give us some gas money for so we can go out of town. I did that. God is good, folks. When you do what you're supposed to, he will bless you. And when I went to my mom and told her I would give her money just because I lived, I asked her how much. She didn't say. She said, well, just give me $10 every weekend. That's about $40 a month for gas. I said, okay, I'll do it. And I did it. When I did that, the Lord blessed me with a great opportunity. I was asked to do something at work where I made more money. And then I kept doing things like that, and then I went full time and I made a lot more money. See, God increases you when you do right. But when you try to weasel out of stuff, you didn't activate God there. If you always try to weasel out of your responsibility, those people have the worst trouble trying to make it. They always get in trouble. They always have lack because they ease out of their responsibilities. It doesn't matter who you are. If you do that, if you take that route and don't pay your own way and weasel out of your responsibilities, just like you backing off, God's backing off too. You're cutting your blessings short. And when you look at the problem and you say, well, I can't do it, you backed off and God backed off with you. But when you say, I'm going to do this, now God is activated. He's going to help you. See, he responds to what we're doing. That's why it's so important to live by your faith. And stop trying to get other people to do what you're supposed to do. If you want God to go forward with you and help you and give you the wisdom and the strength you need, you got to do your part. You got to believe in what. If you don't believe in what you're doing, you ain't going to do it. That's just the way it is. Now I'm out of time. The Lord is not here. Continue to mightily move in your life. What you push, he push. What you pull, he pull. He told me that one day, and I found it to be true. Go forward, not backwards. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.